Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin and Paul Tooley.
Welcome to Education Currents. We're glad you could join us today. We're going to be talking about Twitter, Facebook, and other social media and how they impact schools and what can be done about it.
Yes, the dilemma that we're running into is that there hasn't really been a policy at the current school that I'm working at. And so now they're worried about so many things. They're worried that a predator might come through Facebook. They're afraid of that, and they're afraid of any liability that the school might have. So anyway, there's this backlash or this fear that if we have access to Facebook and to the internet in our computer lab, that then we will be held liable for anything that might be bad for that child.
So why don't they just filter it out? Why don't they just get some filters and put on there?
Well, they have been working on it, and our computer guru says that every time he puts up one filter, the students figure out a way around it, that there really is no safeguard. And so this is the dilemma in the one school that I work at.
Yeah. Well, they're super savvy one can do it, but it sounds to me like they just don't want to spend the money for there's software things that can block, you know, the things that you don't want. And then kids will use proxies and stuff to get around that. And then there's hardware solutions, which they can still use proxies, but they have to be a lot more savvy. If you go to certain companies, they'll come in and put a box. It's actually a physical box they put on the trunk line coming in, and then you program it. And that trunk line takes all the messages coming to it and it sends a message back saying blocked, sorry. So they can't even really get out. And it really cuts down on that problem if that's what they're worried about. They can use a system like that would do it.
Now, social media, I think, is something that's here to stay. I think that it doesn't matter what filters we put on it. It would be better to all become involved, have all the teachers on Facebook and befriending as many students as they want to befriend, because that's where it's at. That's our avenue.
It's true. Now, I know that I don't know about the school where you're at. I know in the public school sector where I work, that was a very dangerous thing to do because there's too many accusations that can fly, and it's not a community. It's, you know, the schools, public schools are not the communities that private schools are. And there were literally probably at least three or four parents within the school that I taught that were constantly looking for reasons to sue because they thought they could make money that way. They could make some money. You know, they were looking for reasons. They were looking to accuse staff and to accuse teachers of things so that they could get some profit from it. So it can be a very dangerous thing. If you are having teachers that are having private communications with students, that raises a whole other ethical level of concern. I mean, if you had a 30-something math teacher in there, and he's kind of handsome, and half the girls have a crush on him, and he's Facebooking them personally, it even if it was innocent, it could be misconstrued. It could run into serious trouble.
Even if he talks to them in the hall, it can be misconstrued. Or even if they come and want to get help with a math problem, it could be misconstrued.
It can, but Facebook is a much more intimate level of communication than in the hallway. I mean, if you befriend somebody, you can send private messages, and it can get pretty tricky.
Well, I think that once the newness wears off, that we will be able to embrace it more and use it as an educational tool, because when we connect with our students outside of school, we know that it enhances learning. And you can't, I mean, there are school districts now that you do go and visit every parent in their home, and that's ideal. But parents need to understand that this social media if they're involved too, rather than just sticking their head in the sand and saying, okay, you know, my child can't be on it, and I'm not going to go there either because it's this big, bad thing. It would be to their advantage if they set up the Facebook page with their child, because then they can put all the parental safeguards into it, and their child knows that they're watching, the teacher's watching. We need to take care of these kids.
Well, it's like, you know, with parents, of course, that's a different than it is with teacher and student. But it's like for a parent who would want, you know, who watches television with their kid rather than supervises their kid watching television. There's a difference. And if you watch television with your child and you're there to guide them through it, when you turn something off, you can tell them why, because you were there watching it and why you don't want that kind of stuff seen, and things that you might want them to be experience on the television, but you want to have them experience it through a lens that you can explain to them things, you're there. And the same with Facebook and Twitter for parents. Parents should be highly involved, and they should know, you know, what their child's doing. The child should be aware that the parents are going to see their account and see what's going on at all times. As far as schools go, it can be a distraction. If you know, there's another whole issue. If you say, well, we're going to just let everybody have Facebook, so when you go to computer lab, when they're supposed to be doing homework, they're going to be on Facebook.
Well, let's talk about the, almost all of these students have personal devices, either iPads or cell phones, you know, that they can get it all on there. They can go right there. So if a school blocks it, the students still can get it on their mobile devices.
Last school I taught in, we had over 600 students, and there was no electronic policy there. You could not bring them to school. Sure, some kids tried, but then they were taken away, and they were kept in the principal's office till the end of the school year, in which the parents then could come in and retrieve them. So
now, what do you think about that? We had that same policy last year in the public school that I taught, where if they brought electronic device, a cell phone, a video camera, any of those devices, if they were caught, it was confiscated. And yeah, at the end of the school year, they could come and get them if they remembered them. Don't you think that's a little bit overboard?
Well, I know that in our situation, we had a problem that a lot of students knew how to use them to cheat on tests. They would use them for nefarious purposes, and some wouldn't. The problem is when you're dealing, especially in the public sector, you have to create broad-based policies that try to address a problem the best way you can to take it out. You know, if you have a smaller school, you can be much more on an individual basis. You know, the administrator of a small school would have to look at it and say, how is this impacting the educational experience here? And if it's impacting it negatively in a large degree, we need to deal with it. If it's not, then we don't need to deal with it at all. But, you know, nowadays I know that during construction you can put materials in your school that block signals so nobody can get it anyway. I mean, if you want to do that, you want to go to the expense, you can put up things that block. And they even have certain electronic devices that will jam them. You could plug them into your classroom and just turn them on, and then everybody's cell phone goes blank until you're done teaching.
That's not a bad idea for some situations. Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, we're going to talk about electronic devices in general and how it can enhance learning or detract from learning. We'll be right back.
In Africa, a whisper, a breath, a truth. A child does not ask, "What will I have for dinner?" The question is, "Will I eat?" A child does not ask, "When will I be better?" The question is, "Will I die?" A child does not ask, "When will my parents come home?" A child knows they will never return. Every day, 385 children become orphans. 300 die of HIV/AIDS.
To make a donation, go to www.restoreachild.org or call 877-745-7833. That's 877-745-7833.
Pediatric stroke is a serious thing. It is the sixth leading cause of death in children. In fact, 1 in 4,000 babies have strokes before, after, or during birth. There are a wide range of effects associated with infant stroke. Some problems include epilepsy and partial blindness on the affected side. Most people don't know that the brain is reversed, meaning that the left side of the brain controls the right side of the body and vice versa. But all in all, they are completely normal. If you see someone with a slight limp and a clenched fist walking down the street, don't look at them weird or feel bad for them. They can still do everything you can do, just with one hand.
This teen topic was written and produced by a student from Highland View Academy. For more information about Highland View Academy, go to www.hva-edu.com.
Welcome back to Education Currents. We're glad you're with us. Today we're talking about, social media, electronic devices in the school. This modern age has burst upon us, and we've kind of caught unawares as to what to do. Because of the generation gap. The administrators and teachers are one generation.
Yes.
And the kids are they take to this stuff like ducks to water. And so nobody quite knows what to do yet. I mean, we're still getting there. Is it okay to have electronic devices? Is it not okay? Is it hurtful? Is it helpful? I know one school now where every student that comes in the school gets an Apple iPad.
Yes.
Part of it is handed to them.
That's getting to be so much cheaper than buying textbooks for every student. They give the iPad loaded up with the textbooks for the year. I think it's fantastic, but there has been research out, and even though that's a great tool for younger children, these devices and everything really aren't enhancing learning whatsoever.
And that's why, probably having a no electronic device policy. I know that if I were to be running a school tomorrow, I would push for that. I'd push the school board to insert a no. Just don't bring them to school.
Yeah.
Don't bring your toys to school. You don't bring guns to school. You don't bring firecrackers to school. You don't bring electronic devices to school.
I wish we had that too, because the iPods, they're all hooked into to listening devices and stuff. It's ridiculous.
It's all, there's another factor besides the educational impact. The fact is, in your teenage years, you're trying to develop into a healthy adult. And one of the things that these electronic devices do is they isolate, they put a pod of sound and sight around you that you're controlling. So you don't have to interact with others as much. You don't have, you have your little iPad or whatever that you can look at the movies you want to and listen to the songs you want to with your earbuds in. You don't have to deal with the people sitting next to you. I mean, people complained when television came along because nobody sat out on the street and talked to their neighbors anymore, and they rightfully so. It was a bad thing. Well, we've brought it down now to the micro level where you can create your own little, right there inside the house, or right there inside the room, you can create your own micro environment where you don't have to deal with other people and you can control it the way you want. And I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. So,
I never thought of that, but you're absolutely right. We can sit in a room and be totally interacting with something else.
That's not even human.
Yes.
We're interacting with something that's, and that, that's an issue that needs to be explored also. So I would just say no electronic policy would be the best bet for a school.
Now I'd like to talk about things like cyberbullying. Maybe let's unpack that, cyberbullying, and what the risks are with understanding social media and how we can protect. That's probably my biggest fear, is that if we isolate and aren't involved in any of these social networks like Facebook and MySpace and things like that, if we're not having our finger on it, so to speak, we won't ever know if students are being cyberbullied.
Well, and cyberbullying is in many ways worse than traditional bullying, because you suddenly have a platform where you can blast it out to the whole student body or to the whole world. And if you can catch somebody in a compromising photograph or whatever and broadcast it on the internet, you can destroy somebody else's life.
We had a situation when I was at the public school where a sixth grader had been molested by one of the high school students. And that high school student is currently serving time. But in the seventh grade, that got out. You know, they really used that information against the girl. They started saying horrible things about her on Facebook and that she was the one to blame for putting this guy in prison. And it was all her fault, along with a lot of horrible things, just horrible things. Now, I was privileged to it because before I had started teaching there, you know, I used my Facebook page to just connect to promote these shows, and I happened to have her on as a friend. And so when I saw that, then I was able to take some steps to stop it, because we have the policy in the county that we work in. Our social media policy is pretty simple. Anything that impacts the student in school, even if it's said through any social media outlet on the internet at any time, even if it's outside of school, if it impacts in school, then we can address it.
And we're not only talking about, you know, if you look at the newspapers, not even the local ones, but you'll find even teachers are running into trouble by posting on their Facebook pages about how terrible their students were, or about, and then students can read these kinds of comments. So you need to
for yourself. Say, don't say anything in a social media, internet way that you wouldn't say, you know, to your class. In other words, the teacher who got sued because she wrote on Facebook that her students were acting like kindergartners and should be put back in kindergarten or whatever. Well, I mean,
a little bit stronger than that, but yeah, that was sort of the idea.
Yeah, a little bit stronger than that. But the idea is, you know, yes, sometimes the teacher might feel that way, but you're not going to go out and just start broadcasting that.
And that's the thing that young people don't realize. That's the one thing. I mean, they're adept at using the technology, but they don't realize the impact of what they are doing to themselves or to others sometimes. You know, they're living in the moment. They're young. They don't have the executive functioning part of their brain developed yet, and they will make foolish choices. And then these choices can come back and haunt them for the rest of their lives on social media. So it's something that needs to be, you know, one thing I've never understood. They talk about controlling it. Why don't they actually start, you know, introducing a class? So your freshmen have to take the social media class in which they can go through some of these scenarios and explain to these students what can happen. You know, it's very easy for us to compartmentalize our lives. Okay, I've got school. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm home, I'm with my friends at summertime and I don't think about school. But social media breaks down all those compartments. So if I'm going home and, you know, if I'm at a boarding academy, for instance, so I go home to Delaware and I'm miles away and I'm on the beach and I'm sitting there with my Facebook writing to friends that have nothing to do with the school I'm in, and I write about something about how stupid, da da da. I don't realize that as a kid that's going to go out back to the people at the school. I mean, everybody's going to hear that's mm-hmm. connected to me, and it eventually is going to come around to probably do me damage. So, you know, explaining these things, I think, to our kids in a class format. I mean, we worry about, if you've seen in the news lately in New York City, they're going, as far as my personal opinion, way overboard with their sex education classes. I mean, way overboard. And we're all worried about that, but we're not worried about teaching a social media class.
That's such a great idea, Paul. We do need a social media class.
Social media responsibility. So kids can at least be informed about what kinds of dangers there are and what can happen if they're not careful, and how to handle it, how to control it.
We did develop something like that when the internet first came on board, and then students were being allowed to do research, and we hadn't really recognized how dangerous it could become, you know, and so we would have them do like a driver's course on learning how to be responsible for what they would research. But now it's so much more open and connected all at the same time that I don't know if we can even hope to catch up, but I do know that being on Facebook and connected with students, I have been able to stop things that I would not have been able to stop if I had just tried to be a good example and not be there. So there's got to be some kind of balance. Maybe like you were talking about in one of your shows, the dress czar. We really need to have in schools a media czar. And if nobody else is there out there with the kids, there needs to be one one adult that really is making it their priority to make sure the kids out there are safe and connecting with them any which way they can. They don't have to be overbearing, otherwise they'll get shut out. But they could at least have a listening ear.
Kids need to realize that when they're talking on their social media, they're standing on a stage. They're not, you know, it feels intimate. It feels private because you're in your own room, but it's not.
Well, and the phenomena that was brought to my attention is that the students try to look and appear something that they aren't. I can go through all of my students that I have. I have some from the university, some from the public school, some from the private school. And almost all of them make themselves out to be something that they aren't. I have seventh graders that say that they've graduated from Harvard, and they try to look, you know, very old and dignified in the picture. And I know they're just little kids. And I have girls that they look like some kind of model, and yet in school they're, you know, horn-rimmed glasses and greasy hair. You know, I'm thinking, what is it about Facebook that we try to project ourselves differently? And this is so tempting for young people.
It goes clear back to the old Tom Sawyer thing when Becky Thatcher, when he first saw Becky Thatcher, and he started trying to do all the flips along the rail and
yes,
to show off. It's that old show-off thing. And almost all of us harbor things we don't like about ourselves. Well, suddenly I'm in this magical world where I can change anything I don't like about myself to something I would like, but it's not really true. It's just a fantasy. And that's another thing that we could teach these kids if we had a class that could help them go through it. You can't live on this fantasy. You can only live in the cyber world on the fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never going to become reality. And if you ever then meet the people that you're fooling, the jig is up.
That's right. Well, we're coming to the conclusion of this show about social media. And I wondered if you had any spiritual adaptation that we could connect to what we've been talking about.
Well, it is. I mean, trying to fake people out is more than just in the cyber world. I mean, we will do it in the real world. How many times have we been there when guests were coming over and mom quickly, clean up, get everything clean out. The house is a wreck 24/7 until the guests are coming. Then get all cleaned up and so that they'll think that we keep a clean house all the time. The fact is that we try to do that with Christ. We try to clean up our lives for him. Oh, we want to hide this from him. We want to hide that. We don't want to let him see what we really are. But the fact is that he knows. And that he knows all the things we're trying to fake in our lives. And he's the one that can make us real and genuine so that we don't need to fake. And the more we come to him, this will cure not only our own lives, but it'll also cure our need to change ourselves in the cyber world as we let Christ dwell in us and change us, truly change us into sons and daughters of God. Then there's no need anymore to go out and put on a fake show for anybody, for any reason. So it's
Amen.
Jesus Christ, all in all, that changes and takes away all of these crying needs that we have.
Amen. And with that, we're going to come to the conclusion of our show. You've been listening to Education Currents, and we hope you go to our website, educationcurrents.com. And Paul, you have one last thing to say?
Remember, never stop learning.
You've been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media. We're now on Facebook, and we'd love to have you join our discussion. Once you're in Facebook, just type in the name Education Currents. We'll also like to thank our production staff, the various networks that make this broadcast possible. For more information on education topics, go to educationcurrents.com. That's educationcurrents.com.